Good morning. It's Friday, April 20th. Almost 4 months after the Delta Mariner crashed into the Eggner's Ferry Bridge over Kentucky Lake, hearings are underway in Paducah to determine how it happened and how to keep it from happening again. We'll look at what's emerged in the hearings so far this morning on Front Page AM from WKMS News. I'm Todd Hatton. You're listening to Front Page AM, bringing you the latest from around our region each Friday morning at 8:35. You can hear more on Front Page PM this evening at 6:30 after Marketplace, as well as our hour-long Front Page Sunday at 9 a.m. Coast Guard and NTSB officials are in their final day of hearings on the ship accident that collapsed a 300-foot section of the Eggner's Ferry Bridge. WKMS has covered every minute of the hearings. Chad Lampe speaks with WKMS's Casey Northcutt about what happened yesterday, including how a captain's suggestion, if followed, could have prevented the entire accident.
So, Casey, the testimony yesterday began with the former third mate of the ship. What was his role in the accident?
Third mate Frank Altany was on watch that night, although he was not steering at the time of the accident. He simply gave more testimony about the night's events.
And what was his testimony about?
Officials asked Altany general questions about his duties as third mate, about the navigational process, about what happened before and after the crash, and other such inquiries. It lasted a few hours, and they covered a lot of ground. However, I did note that an official asked Altany why no one checked a map book to find heights for each of the spans. Altany replied that everyone thought the transit was routine until it was too late. He also said he only saw three lights on the bridge that night.
And did he indicate which three lights those were?
Those were the lights on the span that they went through. Two red lights and one green light.
We also heard from the ship's captain as well, and he took up much of the rest of the day, if I'm correct. And he had a few interesting things to say as well. But first, explain what his suggestion was to when he said he suggested that they turn or that crew members turn the ship around.
Captain Lloyd Patton wasn't on watch that night. He entered the bridge on a spontaneous visit just before the elision. He said he was under the impression that the Delta Mariner was transiting under the bridge's main span. However, the pilot showed some concern for the situation, so Patton made the suggestion that if he wanted to turn around, they should do it immediately. At that time, I don't think the captain understood yet that they were transiting under another span. He said the suggestion came in response to the pilot's concern.
So the pilot showed concern that they may be heading under the wrong span, but they continued anyway?
If I remember correctly from the Voyage data recorder, I think he cursed and they said, "What's wrong?" I think that was the concern that the captain was referencing. It was kind of confusing from today's testimony, but I don't think at that point he knew that the span they were going under wasn't the main span.
So then was the captain asked about who is ultimately responsible for the decision to carry on despite his suggestion to turn around?
Well, the pilot believed they could make it, but investigating officials did ask if the crew on watch could challenge the pilot's advice. The captain said they could. They didn't have to follow his directions. However, the captain also said he believed the bridge lighting was the main cause of the accident. So, I don't think he necessarily said this person was responsible.
So, we heard conversation about a pilot advisor yesterday from Gary Pitts. He covered the meeting on Wednesday in your absence and mentioned that the pilot advisor is, in fact, a separate contractor who comes in just to navigate different rivers or different portions of different rivers. And so, again, we're referencing to specifically the pilot advisor that allowed them to proceed?
Right.
And will we hear from the pilot advisor today?
We will. He is on the schedule today.
And how much more of this hearing is left? I mean, is there anyone else that the Coast Guard plans to question?
No, the pilot's the last.
All right, Casey Northcutt, who's covering these hearings in Paducah this week, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sister Sparrow and the Dirty Birds play Murray State's Love It Live on Stage concert series Tuesday night at 7:30 in Love It Auditorium. Beyond the Edge host Tracy Ross and Love It Live host Matt Parker recently spoke with lead singer Arlie Kinchlow about growing up in the Catskills, creating music with nine musicians, and the band's very generous fan base.
Arlie, let's start from the roots a little bit. You guys grew up in the Catskill Mountains, correct?
Yes, my brother Jackson and I did grow up in the Catskills. That's where my dad moved the family over from San Francisco after they had the first three kids. So I'm the youngest of four, and I'm the only Yankee of all of them. So
how does growing up in the Catskills, how does that affect you as a writer? Is there any part of what you do as a band now that you carry over from how you grew up and the music that you were around then?
That's a great question. I think that because my parents are both from different places, my mom's from California originally, and my dad moved around a bit, but he was originally from Pittsburgh, but they lived in San Francisco together, like I said. So I think, you know, their musical interests were my, you know, biggest influences. They are both musicians themselves. So growing up in the Catskills was just a good setting for sort of a rich background. I think that my parents wanted to pass on to us, and with a lot of different influences. And so we have that eclectic vibe. But, you know, I think that the thing that, you know, most influenced me from living up there was trying to value the family vibe. And we definitely do that within the band.
You play with your brother and your cousin as well, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, our cousin is the drummer, Bram. My father has an identical twin brother, and Bram is George's son. So we look a lot alike because our fathers are twins, you know.
You've been compared as a vocalist to the likes of Adele and Amy Winehouse, and I could probably name several others. Are you happy about these comparisons, or do you feel constricted?
I'm definitely always very flattered and grateful to hear any comparison to any great singer. And I don't feel pinned down because I think people just like to have comparisons, you know, to make things make sense. You know what I mean? So it's like I can be sort of grouped in with some singers like that, or sometimes I get the opposite. You know, I mean, people said Janis Joplin a lot, but it's like, which is a sort of a wildly different vibe than those other that you mentioned. I like it. It's fine. You know, I think it's cool that people think I'm good at all, you know. So it's always nice to hear.
Writing music with a group of nine people, I try to imagine that, and that seems difficult. To you, is that a beneficial byproduct of having nine people? Do you feel like you can pull more by writing that way, or does it ever feel like maybe it's too many cooks in the kitchen?
Well, the way it works for us is I bring in the lyrics and the idea for the song and the structure of it and a lot of, like, some of the chord changes, and then we sort of arrange it all together. So in that way, it makes it easier because I already have an idea formed for, you know, what I'm thinking and how I might want it to sound. But it is really great to be able to pick everybody's brains about what they think, and everybody adds their two cents and puts themselves into the writing of it as well, you know, with the horn parts and then the flavor of the guitar and the harmonica and, you know, right down to the bass lines and the rhythm. It's, everyone really just puts their own personality into it. So it works really well, surprisingly, you know. I mean, we get stuff done pretty quickly, which is a relief, to say the least. So
it's truly strength in numbers for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
USA Today picked one of your songs, Make It Rain, as one of their USA Today playlist picks. Do you feel like this is a moment for your band to make a leap as far as national recognition? Is this a big deal for you to have a song featured in USA Today?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think any national recognition at all is always a big deal, and every little bit helps, you know. But I think the way we're sort of attacking this country is just by going forth and visiting all these towns and sort of spreading it around in a sort of grassroots way. So I think anything that we get, like USA Today or something like that, that sort of helps us connect the dots at all is amazing. And super grateful and excited that happened, for sure.
Let me ask you about your relationship with your fans. I've noticed your Kickstarter fundraiser campaign, and it looks like you've achieved your goal, right? You actually got your fans to buy a new tour bus for you, right? Or tour van.
Yeah, it's amazing. We reached our goal, you know, with a couple of days to spare. We actually went a little bit over, which was amazing. It's really heartwarming, and it makes us feel like we're doing the right thing and making the right kind of music for the right kind of people. And these fans are the reason why we're out here, and, you know, that's why we do it. And if I think personally, like, if it warms my heart, for sure.
Describe the live experience of Sister Sparrow and the Dirty Birds for us.
Oh, well, it's very high energy. I especially do a lot of dancing during this show, and obviously hope that other people want to join me in that. And, it's very, you know, very fun. It gets sweaty. It's positive music. You know, we're all having a great time while we're doing it. I think the live experience is, you know, you can sort of expect to sort of let loose and, you know, get down a little bit and just have a good time, you know.
Sister Sparrow and the Dirty Birds play Murray State's Love It Live Onstage Concert Series Tuesday night at 7:30 in Love It Auditorium. Tickets are $12 and are available at the CFSB Center box office or at Ticketmaster.com. Tickets will also be available at the door. For more information, call 270-809-3000. I'm Todd Hatton, and you've been listening to Front Page AM. Join Chad Lampe this evening at 6:30 for Front Page PM. This evening, Chad looks back at the Paducah Symphony Orchestra's first year under its new executive director. If you'd like to hear this morning's or any of our stories again, you can find them anytime online at news.wkms.org. You can also join us Sunday morning at 9 for the hour-long Front Page Sunday. Thanks for being with us. The Marketplace Morning Report is next. Be a WKMS Insider with a $60 new member gift. Pay $5 a month. We'll send you the latest new member kit, including a WKMS pen and bumper sticker and an iHeart NPR bumper sticker. You may also choose to receive our program guides, e-newsletters, and a station tour. We simply can't do without new members. Pledge now at WKMS.org or call us at 800-599-4737. And thanks. After a sunny start today, we'll see increasing clouds with showers and thunderstorms likely later this afternoon. Highs will be in the low 70s. Cloudy with more rain tonight, lows will drop to the low 40s. More clouds tomorrow, a slight chance of rain in the morning. Skies should clear off as the day wears on. Highs will be in the low 60s. Mostly clear skies tomorrow night, lows will drop to the low 40s. And for Sunday, sunny, remaining clear Sunday night. Temperatures will range from the mid to upper 60s down to the mid 40s. Support comes from our contributing listeners and Paducah Printing Corporation at North 8th and Monroe in downtown Paducah. Their digital services include high-speed copies, color copies, and large format posters. On the web at paducahprinting.com. And support for the Marketplace Morning Report comes from the Paducah office of Wells Fargo Advisors, investment and planning professionals proudly serving Paducah area investors. Member SIPC. Good morning. It's 8:51.